someone that we had done was a Torah-Ration Hay, where Rabbeinu Zal said that when a person has just emunah in the tzaddik alone without das, it's not enough, because it's very easy to fall. Rabbeinu Zal said if a person has emunah with das, that person will not fall. Period. I had mentioned last week that I would like to lead over a letter from Rav Shimshon Barsky. I think that this is from Rav Shimshon Barsky, because most of the letters are signed Rav Shimshon Barsky. This one is signed Rav Shimshon Rabbi Yisrael Menachem. I think that was him, I'm not positive, but in any case, this is from one of the Gedalei Breslov. And number one, a letter tells a lot. A letter is different than a sefer. It gives you a better feel, a better flavor for what these people were like, what their personal conversations were like, what Chaverim spoke about in those days, what their concerns were. And to see the way he touches on this point, especially Rabbi Zal highlighted this point within the letter. I'm going to read it a little bit quickly. We'll translate because everybody doesn't have a sefer in front of them. L'chol anshei shlemein, this is written Tofresh Tzadik Beis on a Tuesday. Parshas V'eschanam, I think. V'hatem avet, l'seder v'hatem avetem. It's Parshas V'eschanam. I believe it's Rav Shimshon Barsky, who was one of Rabbeinu Zal's grandchildren. He was one of the three very great people who gave a shir in Uman on Rosh Hashanah at the same time. Rav Koch Leizal was one, the Be'er Likutim Zal was two, Rav Shimshon Barsky was three. These were the three people who said shirim on Rosh Hashanah from the island. L'chol anshei shlemein ha'mukurovim la'admu maharam zechet tzadik l'vracha v'b'chol asar v'asar, to all of our all Breslovis who are attached to Rabbeinu Zal in any place, kulam yamdu al ha'bracha, may they all be blessed. With this letter, I want to arouse all of Anshei Shlemeinu who are in your group and in all places. They should strengthen themselves to take out of their pockets money for tzedakah, for all the things, all of Rabbeinu Zal's inyanim. And especially to help print the Likutei Eitzos with the Yiddish Taich that they were printing at the time. In the Likutei Eitzos are found in concise form all the advice, without the trimmings, the basic practical advice that Rabbeinu Zal is giving in both Sifrei Likutei Moran. And this is the main focal point of each Torah that Rabbeinu Zal stressed. Asher kivin b'sifrei Likutei Moran, kein omer Maharanat Zal come upon him. This is what Rabbeinu Zal said many, many times, that when Rabbeinu Zal taught chidushei Torah to his talmidim, his main purpose was, as Rabbeinu Zal emphasizes in the introduction to the Likutei Halachos, the main purpose was asiyas hamitzvos, to improve the manner in which his talmidim did mitzvos, to inspire them to do mitzvos, and to get them to do it better. Because the brains and the hearts of people nowadays, as we get closer to Moshiach, have gotten weaker and smaller, because of many reasons, which I can't explain now. In other words, there are many reasons to explain why the brains are getting smaller, why the generations are getting weaker. And also because of the tremendous suffering that each and every single person is going through, especially on those who are trying to attach themselves to the drop of emes, therefore it becomes difficult to understand well the das of Rabbeinu Zal, Hamarumas Bisfor of Hadashim, which is hinted to in his form, Lo'uvda Ulamaisa, to understand it from a practical standpoint, L'chol Ish Kefiman Regosev, each person according to his own level, Ubifrat Hahisoirus Vahishaskus Hamarumas Bisfor of Hadashim, and especially the Hisoirus and Hishaskus, in other words, the arousing people to come closer to Hashem and giving people Hishaskus, especially Avur Dorei Mato, especially for those who are on a low level, Hainu Avur Haktanam Bamaila, Vahaguruim Vahchusim, Lo'iru Melechazkam, to arouse those who are on a low level, and to be Mechazik then, Bebechinas Hokitzu Varanam Ushechni Afar, as Rabbeinu Zal brings the Pusik, arouse yourselves and sing for those who are laying in the ground, and those who are on a low level, and the first letters of that Pusik are Yekumun Hokitzu Varanam Ushechni Afar, the first letters are Yehoshua. This is the main concept of Rebbe Talmud. The Rebbe is the one who gives his Eros, the Talmud is the one who gives his Chaskos. Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbeinu Zal. השזה יכול להיות עיקר כוונו סוי הפרישו של אדמר זל בכל השרוסי הפרישו. And this was the main kavona. In everything that Rabbeinu Zal left behind, the question was, to whom did Rabbeinu Zal direct more attention to? We say that the Tzadik Emes is one who teaches those who are on a very high level, ones who are on a low level. Which gets priority? Which did Rabbeinu Zal direct the majority of his emphasis to? He writes here, אשר זה הוי עיקר כוונוסי הקדושה של אדמור זל בכל השרוסי הקדושה. Came Omar Moyarnat Zal Kamopomim. Rav Moshe Zal said this many, many times, that the main stress that Rabbeinu Zal put was on those who are on a low level. Ubelikuti Alochais Mavur Bozeh Haloshim. And in Likuti Alochais we find this exact wording. Hagam ki Admor Zal Leine Bisforim Agdoshim Imadorim Alo Gam Kein. Although Rabbeinu Zal, in his Sforim, also teaches the Dorim Alo, those who are on a high level, Umar Elohim Bechokhmasi Agdesho, and Rabbeinu Zal shows them with his spectacular wisdom, Ki Einam Yodim Klal Biyidiyos Yizborach, that they hardly know anything about Hashem. By Rabbeinu Zal showing them his wisdom, those who are on a high level who learn his Sforim, they come to the realization they thought they knew a lot about Hashem. By looking at Rabbeinu Zal's Sforim, they come to the realization that they're very far. The Bechinas Ma Chomis Uma Pishpesh Timavur Batura Kimarach Mem Yenagim, as Rabbeinu Zal brings a Torah which we mentioned last night, Kimarach Mem Yenagim, he quotes a concept of those who say Ma Chom, in other words, what am I seeing? What am I touching? In other words, they have no, they don't know. Still, this is Rav Moshe Zal talking with the Alochis, Avol Ho'ikur Hu Halimud Shel Dori Mato. But the main stress of Rabbeinu Zal was the teaching to the Dori Mato, those who are on a low level, Lo'irom, to arouse them, Ulechazken, and to strengthen them, Shel Yaitu Lagamri Chas V'Shom, so that they shouldn't go lost completely, Chas V'Shom. V'Shigam Heim Yiskarvu Hashem Yisporach B'chol Ma'ad Efshar. And so that they too should be Zecher to come close to Hashem to whatever level they possibly can achieve. Ad kam l'shani. These are Rav Moshe Zal's words in the Likutei Alochis. Now he continues, Umach maski hadori mato, bevadai einam yecholim lohoven ulahasig bi'atzmon, bisforot hadoshim, eso itzais, v'hischaskus, hamachutz lohem, because those who are not on such a high level, it's very difficult for them to really clearly understand the advice that Rabbeinu Zal is giving in each that Rabbeinu Zal is presenting in each and every turn of the Quran. Why? Machmas Eimek HaMusog, because of the depth that's involved in some of the Torahs, it gets involved in Kabbalah or deeper type of learning, Drush and other types of learning. Al Kain, therefore, Sivev Hashem Yisborach Barachmo, Hashem in His infinite kindness worked it out, Sheyizgalu Ha'itzes Shel Sforav HaGdashim Beloshim Kozeh UBehezber Kozeh, that there should be revealed the advice of Rabbeinu Zal Sforim in such language and with such clear explanation, sheyuchlu hakoil olamdom, so that anybody could be able to learn it. Heim dori malo, even those who are very learned, im yirtzu levatel kevodom hamedumi, if they'll be willing to nullify their make-believe kavod, in other words, what they think they're on a high level, because in truth, even those who are on a high level, those who are very learned in Torah, it's imperative for them to obtain the das of Rabbeinu Zal, which is found in the Likutei Etzos. If they think it's important for them to cure their nefesh, and especially those who are on a low level, the vaday mitzrochim loho etzais v'hadeyas shel halikutei etzais, mamish kemoi dogim mitzrochim l'mayim. They certainly need the likutei etzais, like a fish needs water. Asheri efshu lehem lichyeis v'lo mayim, just as a fish can't live without water at all, kemoi kein, im hoyu adori mato yoidim koroi, ez deyos v'etzais hamavorim b'likutei etzais. If those who are on a low level would learn properly the Eitzos that are found in Rabbeinu Zal's Likutei Eitzos, Koyomargishim Omarvinim, they would understand, they would feel, and they would understand. Ki mebelodei deis hama, that without this knowledge, ein yoidim shum chiyus behiskarvus to Rabbeinu Zal. A person doesn't feel anything in coming close to Rabbeinu Zal unless a person knows the Likutei Eitzos well, unless he's learned Rabbeinu Zal's Sforim well enough, either the Likutei Ma'an, Likutei Alochis on his own, to be able to understand the Eitzos. Otherwise, he has resorted to the easier method of going straight to the Likutei Etzes, which is a simplified Likutei Moran, stripping away the difficult parts and presenting you the practical Etzes that Rabbein Ezal gives to come close to Hashem. And this is the part that Rabbi Ezal highlighted, the part that I'm going to start now. Ki be'emes, because in truth, im eino miyedim datei HaKadosh, if a person doesn't know Rabbein Ezal's das, afilu im hoya nikroim kama shonim breslev achosiv, even if this person was known for many years to be a breslev achosiv, vigam niyisu le'uman, and the person also traveled to Uman, ein shum mamish v'koyach v'hiskarvus, there isn't any substance, any tangibility to his hiskarvus. Ki ikar ha-hiskarvus el ha-tzadik toloi b'hargoshas datoi ha-kdoisha, because the main coming close to a tzadik is toloi in feeling, in becoming sensitized to the tzadik's das, to the tzadik's seichel, to what he's teaching, what he's professing. And as is found in Likutei Moran in the Torah that we just learned, ki me'emuna levad, that from emuna alone, haynu kishima aminim bahat tzadik, be'emuna levad b'leidas, when a person trusts in a tzadik, with trust alone, without understanding, yechaylan lipoil, a person could fall from that. It's easy to fall when a person is going through all kinds of difficult situations. Whereas when a person believes in a tzaddik with das, in das gamken, with das also, azai I actually burn, then it's just about impossible to fall. So from that Torah, move on omevur misichosei hakodesh anal, it's obvious from Rabbein Ezal's words there, ki ikar ha-hiskarvus el ha-tzadik toli v'hasogas v'hargoshas da'pe ha-gdesha, that the main hiskarvus to the tzadik is toli in understanding and feeling the das of the tzadik, ba'ofen sheyichlu lekabel mimenu etzais l'hishazek l'amod alamdoi, to the extent where a person can draw advice from the tzadik to strengthen himself, to be able to stand firm in his status in religion, and not to be knocked off any way from the emes, machmas hashinuyim v'hayisurim hoyim al kol echad, by all the variations, all the changes that each and every human being experiences in life, and all the suffering that each person experiences, which normally could, chas v'shalom, move a person, could jar a person's religion, a person coming close enough to the tzaddik and accepting the das of the tzaddik well enough, could stabilize himself, could solidify himself, or he wouldn't fall, chas v'shalom. This is the part that Rabbi Zal had highlighted. And this is now an additional piece. And from the Likutei Etzes, each and every person on every level can learn and understand Rabbein Ezal's Das, ubelvad, only, in other words, with one stipulation, sheyevatlu das atzmon, if the person will nullify his own Das, v'yizgabru b'tmimus u'b'pshitus, and a person will strengthen himself with humbleness, with simplicity, and tmimus, l'kayim kemoishim avurashon, to do exactly what's explained there. Kiloi hamedra shayikar ela hamaisa kiyadua, because the main thing is not the learning, the knowledge aspect of religion, the main thing is asiyas hamitzvos. Al kein muta alechem, therefore each one of you is responsible, lehishtadel v'chol mini afsharus, to do everything in your capacity, behatfosas halikut eitzis in ta'ich, to help print, publish the likut eitzis, ulohitziyai meyaharan alagiloi, and to bring it out from hiddenness into to reveal it. Oy haveichem v'deir shlemchem begashmis v'ruchnis, your close friend who's concerned for you begashmis v'ruchnis, v'shimshim v'yisra menachem. No, this is a letter. In other words, this is more personalized explanation of this Torah. Somebody writing clearly his opinion, his understanding of what it means to come close to Rabbein Ezal and how these two must go together and how much emphasis has to be placed on das. Coming into Breslau, when people first come in, they come in with a fire and there's very little das at the time. And if a person who's in that situation, that state of mind, starts going around shooting off his mouth, either to his parents or bringing people in or this, the whole thing, it has no mamoshes to it, it has no substance. And the person messes things up sometimes, makes trouble for themselves, or gives other people a bad impression about Breslov. Why? Because he didn't take out the time himself yet to understand it before he's going around becoming a professor. So the answer is, if that's the kasha, what about bringing people stam to a shir? The answer is, there you're not taking a chance. those of us who are zeicher to come to Rebbe's al shiurim, it comes to bringing a friend to the shiur. There, you don't have to worry much that he's going to be fed the wrong thing in any way. Why? Because even if Rebbe Zal will give a shiur where he's addressing it on a high level, because of his greatness in Madrega, al pi ruach hakodesh, al pi the kiddusha that existed within this person, any person who sat in that room at time, from the highest level to the lowest level, would get what they were supposed to get. And if a person walked out of there understanding nothing, with a bad feeling, because Rebbe Zal mentioned the word nigga or something else, that's what that person was supposed to get. It's not that you brought him at the wrong time. That was his test. That's what he was supposed to get. Whereas for ourselves, we have to watch out very carefully. You have to be careful how much darshaning you do until you feel comfortable you're in a position to darshan. You feel comfortable enough with a panorama of Rabbeinu Zal's eitzos and tefillos, and you've had some experience yourself on going up and going down, to be in a position to be able to be in a car of others. Hashem should help us to be Breslava like these Breslava. Okay, next. Taylor Reish, go ahead.
There is also a small one of those lines about Shaykh Asmara.
Correct.
When you think you have that, because you always feel it, you have so far.
The answer is, this is why Rabbeinu Zal puts a footnote. Rabbeinu Zal, one Torah, warns tremendously about not talking to Rishonim, because in this staff, except Vitzadik and those who are Nova Nelon. And here's the punchline. Depending on how much a person is Mevatel himself to the Tzadik, he becomes nothing. So his chesroinus don't come into the picture. In other words, I'm trying to bring this guy around, and I'm a turkey face. I have 50 different things in me. The minute he gets to know me, he's going to run the other way. Because I myself am, with the fact that I'm by this tzaddik now, I myself am messed up 50 different ways. The answer is, so therefore, if any ani gets involved, it's going to cause problems. Whereas if every time I deal with this person, I'm a vatal myself, I make it that I'm just the shofar. In other words, I'm going to tell him over what was told to me. I'm making believe I'm just a tube, period. Nothing else. I'm not adding any of my own drush or anything like that. I'm just trying to act as an extension of my Rebbe, to act as a tool to just funnel, direct some of that stuff to him also, so that hopefully I'll influence him enough to hook him up with my Rebbe, to be Mishalach him with my Rebbe, that kind of thing. And that's the punchline. Because what you're saying is true. If I have chesroinus, I'm going to be Mekhar, how is it possible that he shouldn't get harmed by my chesroinus, number one? And the answer is, if I'm nothing with the chesroinus, it's not a problem. If I'm something and I'm doing the professing, then it becomes a problem. There's no question at all, and when we talk about religion, coming close to Hashem, between these two, learning and actually going ahead and being religious, performing the mitzvahs as you learn them, the tachlis is the performance of mitzvahs. So that a person who learns and learns and learns and doesn't do mitzvahs, he's practicing a different religion. Judaism is learning for myself. The purpose in the learning is to teach you how to do the tefillin, how to do this, how to do that. The purpose in learning is tefillah. And it's one of those two things.
Is tefillah considered as a mitzvah?
Definitely. But Nosanzal in a few places, because mitzvah, what sphere is that? Okay, that's your answer. Yud kei vav kei, ava, yira, taira, mitzvah. That right away lets you know that these two are one and the same. Why? Because mitzvah is the lesva migarma kolom. The truth, the act of putting on tefillin, has to be with a pshitas where it's nothing. It's not with das, with chachmas and everything. My actual going ahead and doing the mitzvah is with a pshitas. Stucker, and you see the way Rabbeinu Zal said different things. And it's exactly lined up with tefillah. So that religion is composed of two divisions, two sections, the sun and the moon. Torah, mitzvah. Torah, tefillah. Emunah, das, emunah. In other words, there's 50 different variations of it, but that's what it boils down to. 1,000,000,000%. Okay, now, in other words, so that just like we learn to teach us how to do mitzvahs, we learn to teach us how to die. That's what it is. Okay, next. Torah, resh, nun, vav. Rabbeinu Zal said, Shem Ato Nesugol Al Hayam. There is a name of Hashem the name of Hashem, Ato. Ato is the Hebrew word that means you, but obviously it's also one of the names of Hashem, is very helpful when a person is on the ocean, lahachnia hagalim, to subdue the waves of the ocean. If ever there's a problem, there's a storm or something like that, and a person wants to subdue the waves, the name of Hashem Ato can be very helpful for this. The Hasoid, the secret to this, is hinted to in a pasuk in Tehillim, where the pasuk says, Ato, the pasuk says, Ato Moshe Begeus Hayom, you Hashem rule over the geus, the power of the ocean, b'shei galov, when it lifts up, when the ocean lifts up its waves, ato teshabchim, you Hashem subdue them, you lower them. Teshabchim there means tashpilim, to lower them. This is a pasuk in Tehillim, but there, al pi taich, it doesn't have any major significance. You wouldn't know that this, that it's talking about, it's referring to a specific name of Hashem, whereas Rabbi Nizal tells us here that the word ato there means literally this name of Hashem. Now, on this Torah, there's very, very interesting additional information. This Torah was not Rabbi Nizal's own Chiddush. This Torah was something that was revealed to Rabbi Nizal by somebody who was dead, somebody who had passed away. Reb Menachem Mendel Vitebsk Zal, who was one of the very big tzaddikim, who had moved to Eretz Yisrael, and many of us here with Zeicha had the spectacular privilege of going to that old cemetery in Tveria. That's where he's buried also. Many of the Talmidei Hashem, one of those there, if you recall, I don't know if you remember, some of us have pictures, said Reb Menachem Mendel Vitebsk, he was one of the big tzaddikim whom Rabbi Nizal liked very much, and he had moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he died in Eretz Yisrael, in Tveria, buried in Tveria. Rabbi Nizal, when he was making his trip to Eretz Yisrael, one of the first cities that he spent a Shabbos in after he had left home was the city of Skolia. And when he went there for Shabbos, he spent Shabbos in the city, and it was on that Shabbos that Rabbi Nizal said that Rabbi Nachman Mendel Vitebsk Zal came to him, and he revealed to him this Chiddush, because Rabbi Nizal was going to be going crossing the ocean to go to Eretz Yisrael. He revealed to him this Chiddush, that this name of Hashem is Mesugal for helping a person cross the ocean safely. Now let's turn to the Parboris L'Chachma here. We're going to do it inside, because there's a few very interesting things related to this title.
Skolia, where's Skolia? Where is that city?
Not far from Breslau. No, it's Rabbi Nizal left the Breslau to go to Eretz Yisrael. Where did he leave from at the time? Where was Rabbi Nizal living at the time he went to Eretz Yisrael? Medvedevka. Okay. So when he left there, let's say 100 miles from another, on the way to Eretz Yisrael, from there, one of the cities in Russia is a city called Skolia. I don't know if they're from this place or it's a different city.
It's interesting
that they have the ocean, which is
just
talking about the sun. Really? This one? Yeah. Could be. Page Mem Gimel in the Parpois L'Chachma. The page that says Mem Gimel, bottom left hand column. This is very interesting. Simin Reishon and Vav, Shem Atam Asur Al-Yom. At the time that Rabbi Nizal traveled to Eretz Yisrael, b'tchilas nisiyos, say in the beginning of his trip, Rabbi Nizal spent a Shabbos in this city, Hanikra Achshav Vaznishensk, which is called now by a different name. Obviously, the name of the city was changed by the time Rabbi Nachman Shigur Nizal is writing this. There's a whole story told among Anshei Shlomo, Eich Rabbeinu Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Rabbi Nizal then said, the word said is missing here, Rabbi Nizal said that there's going to come a time in the future when this place is going to become a big yishuv, for a big center for religion. Rabbi Nachman Shigur Nizal writes, in our time, which is way after Rabbi Nizal passed away, this happened. We saw that that city became a very big yishuv. The Shom Ro'o Es HaTzadik HaKodosh HaMefursim Moiren Rabbeinu Rav Rabbi Nachman Mendel Zal Mivitebsk Achar Ptirosei HaKodosh Sheniftar Be'eretz Yisrael. And it was in this city that Rabbeinu Zal saw the great tzaddik Rabbi Nachman Mendel Vitebsk Zal after he had passed away already in Eretz Yisrael. Vishom Gilaloy, and it was in that city that Rabbi Nachman Elzal revealed to him Sheshem Ato Mesugal Hayam, that this name of Hashem is very helpful on the ocean, Kimavur Bifnim, as is explained in the Torah. Vishomati me anshe shomin, Rabbi Nachman Shimon Zal writes, I heard from some of the Breslava Sheshomu mi pi harav Reb Shimon Zal, who heard from Reb Shimon Zal, because note, this is way before Rab Nosson Zal came around. Reb Shimon Zal was makuruf to Rabbeinu Zal from Rabbeinu Zal's bar mitzvah. He was around at this time. So they heard from Reb Shimon Zal, Shehapirush shel ato hu kach, that the explanation of this name of Hashem Ato, it's not just that, there's a whole explanation behind it. Ki Ato Rosh Tevois Aleph Tov Hey. The word Ato is the Rosh Tevois of these three words written out completely. Al Kain, therefore, Tzrichen Lichtoiv Chamisha Mechtovim Shekirin Kvitlach, a person has to write five little pieces of paper, V'al Kol Mechtav Yichtoiv Varav Chesed. On each one of these five little pieces of paper, a person writes the two words, Varav Chesed, period. Shegematria Sheloi Reish Pei. The words Varav Chesed are Begematria 280. V'chamisha po'omim reish pei, 5 times 280, oilim elef tof, are begimatria 1,400, right? 5 times 280 is begimatria 1,400. V'hachamisha kvitlech bi'atzman, and the 5 pieces of paper, plus the 5 pieces of paper, heim hei, they equal 5, that's how you get the aleph Tof Hey. This name Hashem Aleph Tof Hey, Aleph is Aleph, 1,400 plus 5. So the way that you arrive at this is by writing on 5 pieces of paper the words Rav Chesed, so that the 5 times Rav Chesed is begimatria 1,400 plus the 5 pieces of paper makes up this name of Hashem. So this combination, these 5 pieces of paper make up the name of Hashem Aleph Tof Hey. Vezehu, this is what Rabbeinu Zal meant when he said, Shem Ato Mesugal Hayom, that this name of Hashem is helpful on the ocean, the Hainu, Elef Tof Hey, this manner. Ubishas Haruach Sarachas V'Shalom, and whenever there's a storm, Yashlech Chamisha Mechtavim, Shekosu Behem Barav Chesed, the person should throw these 5 little pieces of paper or whatever, on which is written the words Varav Chesed, Bechol Echad Miyam Kanal, each piece of paper has the word Varav Chesed on it, Latoy Chayam, throw it into the ocean, Ubevadai Yoyil Lahashkit Hayam Mizafoy, and this is guaranteed to help calm the ocean from its anger. Mizafoy, I believe it's Rachmona Litzlan. Rabbi Shimon Hanal Omar, Rabbi Shimon Zal said, Shehu bi'atzmai hishtamish bozeh bihi yoseh hayam. Rabbi Shimon Zal said that he once had to use this when he was traveling on the ocean. V'hoyil ma'oid be'ezras Hashem Yisparach. And it helped tremendously with Hashem's help. It helped. There was a storm, and he did this. He wrote it down and threw it into the ocean, into the waves, and the ocean calmed down. Now Rav Nachman Shimon Zal says, Va'ayin b'kriyetz chayim b'shar haslichos shekosav the Arizal, this is Rav Chaim Vital Zal, writes in the Kriyetz Chayim, Hine omarnu b'kavonos ato gibor, we told you already in the kavonos of Shemin Esrei about ato gibor, where it says ato gibor l'olam Hashem, sheyesh elef tof hei givuraon, that there are 1,405 givurais from Hashem. There is a power of din from Hashem that's 1,405. It says over there, Ki chamisha gevurois menatzpach heim sherish l'chol ha-gevurois. We know that what's the sherish of din? The 5 Hebrew letters in the alphabet, mem nun tzadik pechof, which are end letters, stumais they're called. Soso means close, which is a concept of din. Those 5 letters represent din. Nimtzo ki chomesh hagevurois menatzbach. So each one of these 5 letters is a concept of din, and we know that each one is kolol from all the others. So it's actually 5 times menatzbach. Menatzbach is begematria 280. Nimtzo ki chomesh hagevurois. So menatzbach itself is begematria. These 5 letters of the alphabet are begematria 280. So 5 times menatzbach is begematria 1,405. Why? Why 5? Because of the 5 letters. In other words, you understand? V'zehu ato gibor leilom Hashem. When we say in Shemoneh Esrei ato gibor leilom Hashem, this is what we're referring to, that the power of Gevura from Hashem comes in this form of ato. It's based on the five Hebrew letters of the alphabet, Mem, Nun, Tzadik, Pei, Chof, which are gematria 280. Each one is called from the other, so it's 5 times 280, which is 1400, plus the five basic letters is 1405. That's what we say in Shemoneh Esrei ato gibor leilom Hashem. So the Arizal reveals over there in the Kavonis of Shemoneh Esrei that there is a concept of 1,405 Gevurais. So now Reb Chaim Vital Zal says in the Shar HaSlichos Vishomati Mimo Arizal, I heard from my Rebbe the Arizal, Ki Yesh Gamkein Elef Tofhei Chasodin, that there's a power, an equal, opposite power in Chesed, there's 1,405 units of Chesed. Vekulam hein b'sherish chesed echad, and all of them originate, all of them draw from one center place of chesed. All the chasodim draw from one destination, which is called, from one location, shehu v'rav chesed. There is, one of the midos of Hashem is called Verav Chesed. That's this concept of the Oitzar Matnas Chinam. That's this concept of Atik, a very, very high level of chesed. That's the unit of chesed. And Reb Chaim Vital Zal says, so Vehine Verav Chesed Oile Peiresh. Verav Chesed is also big. Menatzbach is Bigematria 280. Verav Chesed is also Bigematria 280. Vehem Soid He Chasodim. And this is the secret of the Chamisha Chasodim. We know that there are 10 spheroids. They are basically divided into two groups, Chasodim and Gvurois. So basically, there are 5 Chasodim. There's a concept of Chamisha Chasodim. V'chol Chesed Kolol Mihe. And each one of them is Kolol from all of them. Hare hey pa'omim resh pei bigematria elef tof. So 5 times Verav Chesed is bigematria 1400. V'im hey chasodim shehim hasheresh hare elef tof hey. Reb Chaim Vital Zal writes this. So plus the 5, the basic number of 5, gives you 1,405. What do we see here? That the Arizal explains that there is this number 1,405, of which the Sherish of Gevura is based on that. It's based on Menatzbach, 5 letters. 5 times 280 gives you 1,405 plus the 5. And there's an equal opposite force of Chesed called Verav Chesed, which is Mamtik, this 1,405 Gevurois, which is also 280. And there's a concept of 5 there also. 280 times 5, and it's kol from 5, gives you 1405. So we have these two sides of ato. Rabbeinu Zal on this Torah is obviously talking about the ato of chesed. As Reb Shimon Zal said, the writing down these words, Rav Chesed, 5 times, that's mamtik, the gevura of the yam, period. Now, Reb Nachman Shigurin Zal does you a favor. He was a super bookie in the Zohar HaKadosh, so he quotes one place in the Zohar HaKadosh where the Zohar HaKadosh talks about the waves of the ocean, and the Zohar HaKadosh there mentions about what causes waves, number one, and what sweetens waves. And Reb Nachman Shigurin Zal quotes that for you, and he says, obviously, that ties in beautifully with what Reb Chaim Vital Zal explains in the Kisvei Arizal about the 1405 of Gevura and 1405 of Chesed. We'll just go through it a little quickly. Va'ayin Zohar Parashas Noach, Daf Samach Tesamet Beis, Ksiv, the Zohar HaKadosh says, on this Pasuk, Ato Moishel Begeus Hayom, you Hashem rule over the goriness of the ocean, B'shei Galov Ato Teshabchim. The Zohar HaKadosh says, B'shato Diyamo Kofatz Begalgaloi, at the time that the ocean springs up with its waves, Utahimi Salki, and the depths rise up, Venachsi, and they go down. In other words, it starts moving up and down, that motion of going, that wavy motion, Ato Teshabchim. You, Hashem, flatten them. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Kuchebrichu shodar chad chuto. Hashem sends one thread, Umoshich galgaloi, and Hashem weaves it through the waves, Veshokich zafe, and he calms the anger of the ocean. And nobody knows about this. It's hidden. This is a hidden chesed that's used. In other words, obviously, again, this verav chesed, this hidden, this Torah Hanistar, this is what's used to calm these waves. The Zera Kodesh continues, why begin the Kodesh Baruch Hu Shalit Bahahu Geyusa Diyama? Because Hashem rules over the Geyusa Yam. Vahahu Geyusa Diyama. And what is the Geyusa Diyam? We just said, what does Hashem calm it with? A thread of Chesed, a Chut Shel Chesed. What causes the Geyusa Yam? Hu Chad Chuto Desmola. It's one thread from the left side. Din. The Salik Leliyamo Lielo, which causes the ocean to rise up, Ubei is Salik, and it's with that chut of from the left side that causes the ocean to rise up. Hahu Dechsiv, the Zohar Kodesh says, this is why the Pasuk says, Beshoigalov Ato Tishabchem, that when these waves rise up, you Hashem flatten them. Tizbarloin, you smash them, La'asvo La'asrayu, to return them to their original form, you know, flat. Okay, now Rav Nachman Shiger and Zal says, in analyzing this, this the Arizal doesn't say. This is Rav Nachman Shiger and Zal's interpretation of the Zohar Kodesh. He says, it seems to me that the Zohar Kodesh is hinting to these two bechinas that the Arizal spoke about, which are. Sheze bechinas ato moishel begeyus hayom, shehu bechinas ato gibor, sheze bechinas chad chuta de smolo, de salik leiliyamo li'elo. In other words, the concept, the fact that the Arizal mentions a concept of ato gibor, there's a force of ato of givura. Note, the pasuk begins by saying ato moishel begeyus hayom. That's the name that's applicable to the geyus hayam. That's the name that gives the yam its geyus. That's the source of din that it draws from. And therefore, when the waves rise up, Ato also flattens them. That refers to the other Ato, which is generated via the five times Varav Chesed. It smooths down the waves, and it calms the anger of the ocean canal. And Rav Nachman Shiger and Zal adds, note his modesty. I'm afraid to speak a little bit more about this. Obviously, he had much more to say about this. I'm afraid to speak a little bit more about this topic. And if I made any mistake, many times the Mekubolim, whenever they say something deep and it's their own chiddush or their own interpretation, they add on these words, if I'm making a mistake. Why? Because we learned in Eternal Gutamaran that when it comes to Hasagos, you can get it either from the right place or from the Hechle Atmurois, and it's very, very easy to make a mistake, especially in Chochmas Hanus. This is why Rebbe Zal would be very mad if a person starts figuring out his own Gematrios in Kabbalah. You got to be careful because it's easy to make a mistake sometimes, depending, you know, if you don't know how to interpret it the right way. So this is why they hit on this lesson. Note, we got a panorama. We got from Rabbeinu Zal an explanation. The Arizal, in other words, the Zohar Kodesh, very theoretical. The Arizal, a little bit more tangible, a little bit more practical, breaking it out to the actual names of Hashem, the units of force. Rabbeinu Zal, Lamaisa. Physically, practically, how does it apply to me in a physical situation where it's possible to use this to protect yourself from being harmed in the ocean?
Something we can do? I mean, something we can.
Now, it's not brought here in Chaim Aran, it's brought that afterwards when Reb Shimon Zal came back from, Reb Shimon Zal went to Eretz Yisrael and he came back to Russia. And then he went to Eretz Yisrael again, he passed away in Eretz Yisrael. They write that when Reb Shimon Zal was leaving Russia to return to Eretz Yisrael, he went into a sefer and had the sefer write up for him like 10, 20 of these pieces of parchment with these words, Barak Chesed, exactly as they are written in a sefer Torah, you know, Ksav Ashur is that fancy lettering with Tagan and everything, and he took it with him. This meaning, obviously. Now, note again, the main thing is tefillah. The main thing is Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach, that note. But this is definitely a physical etzah that Rabbeinu Zal said in dealing with the ocean. If a person ever finds that they have to go on the ocean and there's any kind of fear of danger, you know that there's a practical etzah to be used. Baruch Hashem.
It's been categories of segula that you mentioned that Rabbeinu Zal said that we don't.
Moses also said that he didn't use. He didn't go for segulas. The answer is, again, it's hard to say. Generally, we usually always default to tefillah. Rabbeinu Zal said we need tefillah. but this is something that definitely pays to know about. And if a person is not sure as to how good his tefillah is, number one, and you know, et cetera, et cetera, this is definitely at least a very good backup. At least.
I know what you're going to tell me is like, some of the young people that carry Akron all the time, because they say Akron is the school of Torah Shirk.
That what is always not in the bank, you know what I'm saying? Huh. Yeah, there's a lot of things, a lot of life schools that are brought that Rebbe's out there in stress.
What did you mention about Akron?
Did you say something profound, or was it completely simple? No, you didn't understand. You didn't hear what he said.
I didn't hear what he said.
That there is brought that Achron is a segula for finding a shirk. Because I wasn't medayik to give it to Afka without how married it was. Yeah.
There's all kinds of that segula.
Rabbi Ezra talks about it later. I don't know if you recall. Tzulach of Beis, right? I'm almost positive that that's the term in which he talks about it. That segula is something which we don't understand why it is this way. It's something that is, and we don't fully understand why it is this way. In other words, Rabbeinu Zalbeis says that Bnei Yisrael are called the Am Segula. That implies that there's something about them that is, that we don't know what. The fact that Hashem loves them over all of the goyim, that's a fact, and yet we don't have any real clear explanation, you know, as to why it is that way. And this same definition applies to other things, where we're told that something, this and this, does something, although we don't know exactly how it really does it. Period.
So why wouldn't you listen to your school?
Excuse me?
Why didn't Rabbi Nosson
Zal? Because Rabbi Nosson Zal said that Rabbi Nosson Zal's main emphasis, that the main limud that Rabbi Nosson Zal came to the world to teach, was to get a Jew to depend on tefillah. So that, in other words, if there's ever a choice, the priority is tefillah, default is tefillah, always. Wants to get yourself oriented that by nature you always, the second any kind of tzar, anything, you always react with tefillah. So therefore he was even reluctant to use these things when he had a choice of using tefillah instead. Tefillah is something we know, the Gemara, every single facet of the Torah writes that whenever a person is in any kind of need, always call out to Hashem, right? Mm-hmm. So that we know. Segulas, we're not told anywhere to use them. You understand? Mm-hmm. They're things that are offered, but we're not told to do it, to use it. Whereas tefillah is very, very much recommended.
Well, I think he said from Israel.
That's exactly. Rabbi Nosson Zal said that he bechalal, Rabbi Zal said that it's brought, or Rabbi Nosson Zal himself said that he bechalal avoided using schools. Even the schools that Rabbi Nosson Zal says in Sefer HaMidos, even that, he preferred tefillah. And that tells us again what status, in other words, how religion basically branches out into two units, and tefillah.
But isn't
it
probably called
a segula gedola? It says, okay, exactly. But that's a tefillah, that's a segula gedola. And again, why is it called segula? Because we don't really understand exactly how this accomplishes what we're saying it accomplishes. But yet, it's a tefillah, you understand? There are tefillahs that this tefillah is a segula for this. That we do, no question.
Does Rosh Hashanah be in the same category that you come from Benos and Rosh Hashanah?
Most definitely.
A tefillah, so it should be a school on something that's nicer, that's not a...
Excuse me?
A tefillah that a woman should give birth.
Right.
That's an eitzah, that's not so much as a school.
Yes and no. Because that term is applied to something that where we don't understand exactly how it does it, but it does it. We don't understand exactly why it is this one, but we know it is this one. Baruch Hashem. Okay, the next Torah, I made two phone calls to Eretz Yisrael today to find out what this story was. And I finally got, Rav Nachman Burstein was the one who said that he heard the story from Rav Levi Yitzchak, and Rav Levi Yitzchak is hesitant in telling it over, and I'm not positive I understood exactly what he said. He's hesitant in telling it over because of the nature of the story, number one, and number two, because there are points in the story that are not clear. Interestingly, Rebbe Zal on the Likutei Moran tapes doesn't explain the story at all, or what the story was. So that's why I'm ecstatic that Baruch Hashem was able to be able to have it now. Period. This Torah Reishon in Zion, the Torah begins based on the pasuk Kisavoi Bekerem Riacha. The Torah says that if a worker will be working in the vineyard of his friend, so the halacha is he's permitted to eat while he's working. He's permitted to eat. The pasuk says, what does the pasuk say?
V'yachalto kenashecho sarecho, you can eat according to your heart's content. Rak ve'el kelyecho loisitein, but you're not allowed to stuff it into your pockets or into your basket. You're not allowed to walk out with anything. While you're there, just like loisach shem shur b'dishay, while an animal is working for you, you're not allowed to keep a muzzle on him, because this is rachmonis. The Torah teaches derecheretz, midos. He's working for you, he's working in food. Don't aser him from tasting the food while he's working. Now, Rav Nosson Zal writes, al pi maisa, this Torah was brought out related to a story, v'chulu, period. Shehinicha lo'i v'chulu, a story, period, you know, etc., etc. And now it says on that story, Shehinicha lo'i mo'i tzavo, Rav Nosson's mother left a tzavo for him, Shemi she'eno yochoy l'soiv lo'i, anyone whom Rav Nosson can't stand, lo'yanichenu li'ay setzlo'i, Rav Nosson should not allow that person to remain by him. Ve'im lav, and if not, if he doesn't abide by this, yitztarech la'ezer me'horechaykim al ha'krovim etzlo'i, he'll have to resort to getting help from a distant place for those who are close to him. In other words, for things that are close to him. He'll have to resort to going to a distant place to get help for things that are close to him. V'yizbor b'mokam achar. And this will be explained in another place. I have not yet come across what that different place is. In other words, it's not Chaim Aron, it's not Likud. You know, I don't know where that place is. And I asked these people, and they said, that, you know, the impression I got is that it's not written down. Could be it was written down in some kind of kuntres or something, which we don't have, or that kind of thing. The story, as much as I was told about it, is that there was some kind of incident when Rav Nosson was a small child. One of his relatives, a girl, some type of relative, where somehow Rav Nosson went through a very, very big test with her, period. He underwent some kind of a very, very big test, and he passed it. But Rav Nosson made it clear that this was a tremendous nisayon. Then, at a later time in Rav Nosson's life, after he already became a Rebbe, he became Rav Nosson, this girl, young woman as she was at the time, came to him. She came to him as Rabbi Nosson, as a Rebbe. In other words, came to him to ask him about something, either to daven for her, you know, whatever it was. She came into him. He saw her, so he didn't want to let her stay by him. In other words, he didn't want her to be there. So he notified people there that he doesn't want her. You know, he doesn't want her around. Slough her, as Rabbi Nosson would say, as the S.Y. say, get rid of him. So some of the people who were standing around got rid of her, period. Whether they did it verbally or not, but somehow they got her to leave. They threw her out, pretty much. They evicted her. Shortly after this incident happened, her brother, she had some kind of brother, whom she asked him to go out and buy some food for her. He went out and bought fruit, apples. This is what was mentioned specifically. And what he brought back was fruit that wasn't ripe. It obviously wasn't ripe enough. She ate from this fruit and she died. Period. This is the story, as it was told of. Now Rabbi Nosson says, Ki kishe'oichel yoyser mitzorchoi, related to this topic, Rabbi Nosson said that when a person eats more than is necessary, ze hamaychel mazikloi, that food damages the person, overeating. Rabbi Zal said that the Rambam Zal speaks about this in his Sefer, and the Rambam Zal, in his tremendous wisdom, said that 99.9% of illness that exists in this world is due to overeating. So Rabbi Nosson says now, ki kishe'ichel yoyser mitzorchoi ze hamaychel mazikloi, ki kol dovor, why? Rabbi Nosson explains, ki kol dovor yeshloi sheresh sheyeshloi chiyas mimeno. Each and every single item, close it a little bit so nobody should get sick. I just don't want people going to sleep. Ki kol dovor yeshloi sheresh sheyeshloi chiyas mimeno. Each and every single item has an origin from which it draws its chiyus. This is what we spoke about, Shalosh Shiras. What's the Shiras of the chiyus of the world? The Torah. Ki hu chayecha v'archimecha. Every single item has a mokka, a Shiras, from which it draws its chiyus. Kigoin, for example, hasamim, medicines, yesh lohem chiyus mimashe, ha'odam loikeach ha'isam l'refuah. Their chiyus is based on when a person uses them for refuah. That's what gives these medicines chiyus. V'chein ha-ma'acholim, yesh lohem chiyus mize ha-odom shoich ha-loisam. So to the ma'acholim, draw their chiyus from a person who eats them. And note, this fits in beautifully with the Torah, the Kutim Ran, that we had that Torah Aleph, Tikku Memshola, where Rabbi Ezal said, if a person wants to bypass medicines, he goes up to the Dvar Hashem, from which this item is drawing its chiyus, and through tefillah, he goes way, way above the medicine, above the malach who's mashpia to the medicine. He goes direct to the Dvar Hashem. Therefore, he can get his refuah much, much quicker. But the question is, the Dvar Hashem, what's the tachlis? Where does that draw its chiyas from? It draws its chiyas from the people. The Dvar Hashem draws its chiyas. In other words, what was the purpose for the Bria Asylum? What was the purpose for the Dvar Hashem? Bishvil Yisrael, Bereishis, Bor, the Kamsa Shem Zoretz, Bishvil Yisrael, Shemik Bereishis. So the chias of food comes from the people who eat it. That's the sherish of their chias, is from the people who are going to be eating that food. O mekabel chias misham, and that's where the food draws its chias. Oh, 1 second. Shalom, v'chein ha-ma'acholim, so to food, yesh lohem chias, mizeh she-ha-odam ha-ichal esam, they draw their chias from the fact that a human being eats the food, umekabel chias mehem, and draws life from that food, mizeh yesh chias lama'acholim. That's what gives the food chias. Now Rabbi Nizal says, avol kishe'oichel yoyseh mitzalchoi, but when a person eats more than is necessary, ein lozeh ha-maychol mimi lekabel chias. This food has nobody to draw chias from. Why? Me'achar she'ein ha'odom tzorech elov, because the person doesn't need this food, that person cannot be used as a source of chias for that food. Now note, chias, the term chias, just to show you what Likutei Halachos does for you. In other words, we're not chas v'shalom, I'm not adding a hair to this Torah. We're interpreting this exactly as is found in Likutei Halachos. To understand how from this one Torah that we learn Shabbos, you understand panorama. Rabbi Nizal starts off by saying that the chias of the world, in other words, what's the chias of anything on this earth? The Torah. No question about that. Ki hi chayecha v'ruchinecha. What is the Torah? The Torah is letters. The Torah is letters. So when we talk about food providing chias for a person, when we say that food provides chias for a person, what content, what ingredient does food have that provides chias? Letters. What's another word for letters that we spoke about in the Shir on Rosh Hashanah? What's another word for letters? Neshamais. Ebro no biatzecha, neshamais oisiyos. Remember, we explained 600,000 letters corresponding to 600,000 neshamais. That's this concept of gilgulim that are found in food. Another term for that would be these letters found in the food. It's a chias, a ruchniyistik chias. It's letters of the Torah. When Hashem created the world, the whole Bria was made with amira, with words, with letters, no question at all. So when we say that a person provides chias for this, it's because the avoida that the person is going to do using that energy, the amira, the words that are going to come out, words of Torah, words of tefillah, anything that he's going to do that pertains to these words of Kedusha, that's what gives chias to the food. The food gives chias to the person because it has letters in it, which the person eats that and he draws chias, not just like I draw chias from learning Bereishis Bara Elokim. How does the person give chias back into the food? How is he in other words, food is masaking a person. In what way? Well, if he doesn't eat it for 3 days, he becomes very not mesukon, very dead. So the food provides a tikkun in keeping him alive, and Baruch Nias, it's shooting these oisis into him. How does he provide chias for the food? Baruch ato Hashem, like he says those words of Kedusha. By saying those words of Kedusha, he's shooting chias into the food. That only applies to what you need. What you need, the bracha covers what you need. Anything you eat that's more than what you need, the bracha doesn't apply to that. The kedusha doesn't apply to that. That food is not being used. Now, let's say I take in 800 kilograms of energy into my body, and I only use 400 for physical or spiritual needs. There's 400 kilograms that went to waste. Energy that was in that food, ruchnias tekekoiches, oisiyos, whatever you want to call it, that's going wasted.
And you make a bracha covering all the food that goes in your body.
Yes, but no good. In other words, the bracha technically, halacha-wise, covers the food, but it's not mesakein it. Mesakein is, the bracha is made to accommodate what you need. If you eat more than what you need, in a sense, that's outside the boundary of the bracha. It's maestros, it's klipa. 1 second now. Rav Elazar says, Aval kshechel yes mitzorchoi, ein lezeh hamachol, nemi lekabel chiyas, me'achar shein adam tzorech elav. V'hu doyme ki'ilu hinichu adam l'toich keli. It's like taking a person and putting him into a closed box. Shebavadai ein lekabel chiyas. Mishan, the person has no place to draw oxygen from, no place to draw fruit. For you take a person, lock him in a safe, no place to get food, no place to get air, he's going to die. Therefore, this excess food that the person took into the body goes and looks for chiyas. It needs chiyas. Then the food takes out the etzem chiyas of the person himself. It has the power to hurt the person. Once this infection starts within the body, that this excess food starts attacking the body in a sense, trying to draw more than what it's supposed to, because there's a give and take going on here. The food is giving to the body is giving to the food. This person is being misaking the food is being misaking him. Once the balance gets upset and the food starts taking from the body more than it's supposed to, because it can't draw from the normal location because that's been used up, it starts drawing chiyas that it doesn't regularly draw, what happens is the other macholim and the body join in. In other words, once the fences are broken down and they can start drawing from chiyas they're not supposed to, all the food starts attacking the person's body in a sense, umazik and loya, and it damages the person's body, chas v'shalom. This is why the pasuk says, "V'yochalto kenafshecho sovecho." You should eat to satiate your nefesh. In other words, eat enough, what's needed, exactly what's needed to satisfy your nefesh. Lo yoiser, not more. V'zeh, and then you know what you'll accomplish. Ve'el kelyecho lo yisitein. Haynu sheloitoichal yes mitzorchecho. Don't eat more than you're supposed to. Shezeh doime kenoisein letoich hakeli. That's like putting the food into a box. Me'achar shein tzorech lekanal. Because it's like you don't need it. In other words, it's like putting it in a box where it starts choking and it gets desperate, and then an explosion occurs within the body where it starts drawing chiyas it's not supposed to, and it could kill the person. Chas v'shalom. Obviously, a person has to be nespalel. You see, you open a newspaper, you see that there's 30 pages of advertisements for people who are eating more than what they're supposed to. And each person knows how they go through this on their own. And there's no mitzvah to it. In other words, when Rabbi Zal spoke about eating a lot on Shabbos, this, that, he wasn't giving heterin for breaking down fences. And unfortunately, people make a mistake and they take it the wrong way, or they go a little bit too far, and then already it's bordering chas v'shalom on sin. Not that on Shabbos we would say if you eat a little bit more, that food chas v'shalom is considered an avera, but certainly if you eat to the point where it wipes you out, you can't learn, or you get physically sick, that definitely is some aspect of an avera, no question at all. And here Rabbeinu Zal is giving an azhara about a person being careful. Now you see people are willing to spend thousands of dollars going to programs, this, that, everything. It certainly is worth tefillah for each person to daven for himself. Hashem should guide each person as to how much they're supposed to eat. And we should not have any taiva to eat more than we're supposed to, so that chas v'shalom shouldn't damage us in any way.
Same thing applies, let's say, not just eating more than you should, but let's say foods that aren't necessarily healthy. Like,
that's a different Torah. Because this Torah was said together with that story, it seems. Rabbeinu Zal does have another Torah, which I think we learned already. What did we? The Torah about that if a person eats a fruit. No, we didn't. It's in Likutei Moharan Tanina.